Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
In 1995, it was the year that the Northern Territory enacted a euthanasia legislation, if you remember. Our own member, Kevin Andrews, introduced legislation in the federal parliament that overturned that Northern Territory legislation. It was also the year that O.J. Simpson was put on trial. Do you remember 1995? It was the year that Yitzhak Rabin, the Israeli Prime Minister, was assassinated. It was the year that Carlton won the 99th AFL Premiership. They beat a very poor Geelong side. It was the year that the Brownlow Medal was awarded to Paul Kelly. On Boxing Day 1995, an umpire by the name of Darryl Hare, do you remember? He ruled out someone called Mural Itharan, a leg spinner from Sri Lanka. He called him seven times, I think it was, for throwing in that second test. 1995, it was the year that the Lord told me that he wanted me to go into full-time ministry sometime in the future. I'd been a Christian for about 6 years. What events stand out in your own journey of faith? Reflect on them as we look at this great chapter, chapter 11 in Hebrews today. What stands out? What are the bookmarks in your journey of faith? The writer to the Hebrews, one we've called the preacher, gives these struggling Christians in the first century this parade, this hall of faith of people stretching back millennia. Men and women who trusted in God. Men and women who persevered in their faith regardless of the difficulties that they faced, regardless of the dangers. And he puts before them this hall of faith. Listen to how he describes faith. It's verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we don't see. This is what the ancients were commended for. What's faith? Faith is the resolute confidence in the promises of God, even though we have not as yet received the fulfillment of those promises. It is resolute confidence in God, in his promises, even though we have not yet received the fulfillment of those promises. If you think about this, lots of things that we don't physically see as yet, aren't there? There are spiritual realities. The Bible tells us that if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus, you've been raised with him, you're seated with him in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers. You don't see that physically. It's a spiritual reality. There are future realities that we don't as yet see physically. A future reality is like this. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, the certain promise is that the Lord Jesus will return. The certain promise is that when he does return, our lowly bodies will be transformed so that they'll be like Christ's glorious body. It's a future reality, but we don't physically see that yet. We don't physically see the reality that when Christ returns, this world, this cosmos, will be transformed, renewed into a new heaven and new earth, a place where there's no mourning, death, crying, or pain. The writer of the Hebrews, the preacher, wheels out Abel, first cab off the ranks. Abel gave the best of what he had in worship of God. We read that he was commended by the Lord. That is, the Lord looked with favour on him, and he looked with favour on Abel's offering. But did Abel receive all the blessings of God in this life? I mean, hardly. He was murdered by his own brother. The thing that stands out about Abel is that he gave the best of what he had. We read, by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. Friends, one of the very practical ways that we live by faith is simply giving our best to the Lord. It's what the Bible describes as first fruits. We give our best, we give our first to the one who gave all for us. You see, friends, a life of faith and generosity, they just go hand in hand. It's like a hand in a glove. Generosity, when you think about it, it's all encompassing. It's far, far more than our wallets, but it certainly includes them. It's generosity in building others up. It's generosity in caring for the weak. It's generosity in using our spiritual gifts. You can go on and on. Generosity, consistent with a life of faith, is all encompassing. After Abel, the preacher rolls out Enoch, Noah, and then gets to an extended coverage of Abraham. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. Abram was a moon worshipper, lived down here, Babylonia, Ur of the Chaldeans, and God calls him. Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I'll show you. He was old. Sarai, his wife, was old. They were childless. And Abram did not receive the specific promise about his descendants and having a son until he was actually there in Canaan. He was just called to go to a place that the Lord would show him. It was a journey of faith. And when Abraham died, he had only seen a very partial fulfillment of these magnificent promises that are still being fulfilled in our life and through the church today. Abram went to Canaan to live out obedience to God. What's the life of faith? It's resolute confidence, it's oozing generosity, and it's joyful obedience. See, worshippers of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are people of faith. Whether that's individually, whether it's us as a congregation, whether it's us as a church, living a life of faith, even in the face sometimes of great difficulties and very disheartening circumstances. I know in our frailness, all of us struggle from time to time in fully trusting God. Fully. We do, don't we? Or do you? I do. Too easily we let our flesh be the thing that drives our priorities. Too often we let our flesh be the screen that kind of obscures those spiritual eyes of faith. Often I think we assess what's happening based on our circumstances in this present age. 2001 was quite a year. In the February of 2001, Cheryl was diagnosed with leukemia. She's saying, oh, why are you doing this illustration on me? Well, just once. CLL. That was in the February of that year. Regarded as incurable. We didn't know how quickly it was going to progress. But even from those early days, Cheryl Strand was always aggressive. A new managing director had been appointed to the company that I work for and to the level that I reported to. Over the last 7 years, we'd kicked lots of goals in the large business that I headed up. But many of you all know that senior management and security are not actually things that go hand in hand all that often. We returned to Melbourne, a wife with cancer, and, of course, a disabled son, getting bigger, more difficult to handle. So lots of questions. Questions like, what lies ahead? What does God want me to do? The questions that seem to go day and night, and hundreds of prayers. And as I tried to wrestle those through in my mind, of course, there was still that very clear memory of God's call on my life. One day, I want you to serve me in full-time ministry. How is this going to happen? Did it make sense to go down that route with a seriously ill wife and a disabled son requiring 24-hour-a-day care? Well, I took some tentative steps. They were very tentative. Enrolled at Ridley College. I completed the first year, but still very unclear as to what that road was. Keep thinking in your own life. What are the bookmarks in your own journey of faith? Through that year, 2002, Cheryl's health deteriorated substantially. As we went into 2003, Cheryl underwent 6 months of life-sapping chemo with a new trial, a combo drug of three chemo drugs. So lots of questions. I mean, would her body actually survive that treatment? If it did, would she go into remission? And what is it that the Lord wants me to do? The life of faith is kind of very practical questions, aren't they? And so as we headed into a new year, 2004, Cheryl in fact had gone into remission. And I decided I'd just kind of push a little on the door of the Anglican Diocese of Melbourne, just kind of touch it. And as I just touched it, it flew open. I'd taken extra subjects that are required by the diocese over and above the Master of Divinity, just in case. The selection process was accelerated, and by 2005, I'd completed Ridley, the hospital chaplaincy assignment, and I was a curate at Holy Trinity, Doncaster, up the road, literally 3 minutes from home, because that meant that all of Brendan's care, his facilities, could remain intact. A good and gracious and faithful God. Now, over the years, Abraham's trust in the Lord kept strengthening. Remember, he'd obeyed God originally when he left his home and went to Canaan. I mean, there were some times where it wavered, when he got into tight spots. But the trajectory was one of strengthening trust and faith in the Lord. And then he's given this mother of all tests. If you've got your Bibles open there, look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Mind-boggling. Even though God had said to him, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Can you imagine what's happening in his mind? How could this be? But he reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Friends, this is amazing obedience from Abraham. This is practically living out the life of faith, a life of faith with God. This preacher communicating with these Christians in the first century who are really struggling, he's saying, hold firm to Christ, don't drift. Live your lives out as lives of faith, even when you face extreme difficulties. Even when you're struggling to actually see the fulfillment of God's promises. And in your life, perhaps you're struggling in your walk of faith. There may be difficulties in your life that are just simply weighing you down. Or the other metaphor, difficulties in your life that just keep on kind of blinding your eyes from that sight of faith. Blinding our eyes from the faith that there is a better country and that that is a certain promise. That's God's word. That's true. I want you to take particular note of where this magnificent Mount Everest chapter, chapter 11, where it fits in. I mean, it's the sort of chapter you can just kind of pull out. But where does it fit in what he's been saying to these people? What does it come after? Why has he put it here? There have been 10 chapters dealing with the supremacy of Christ, dealing with Christ once for all a perfect sacrifice, our entry into God's very presence, and the fact that God, the Lord Jesus, is our great high priest. If we allow the truth of who Jesus is, what he's done, what he is doing, what he will do, if we allow that to permeate our hearts and minds, the Holy Spirit will strengthen us in our journey. Who Jesus is, the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, the one through whom all things were made, the one who sustains all things by his powerful word. What the Lord Jesus has done, the one true perfect sacrifice, once for all, never to be repeated, never needing to be repeated. What the Lord Jesus is doing, the faithful and merciful high priest, who's been tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin, and lives to make continued intercession for us. And what the Lord Jesus has promised to do, he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Friends, as you allow the truth about Jesus, what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do, to just permeate every part of your person, that's the gift that the Holy Spirit will take to strengthen you in whatever walk, whatever circumstances of life. I want us to reflect on the truths of Hebrew, this run up to chapter 11, as we listen to this beautiful song, Before the Throne of God. I can think of no moment more incredible and no place more beautiful than before the throne of God. The daily battle becomes more painful, but we discover that he's given us the greatest gift of all, a sinless Saviour who's died and risen
before
for us.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfectly a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me, my name is graven on his hands.
Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. Satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchanged. My Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
Before the throne of God, we have the perfect plea, and we look upward and see that he has an end to all our sins. Friends, faith is the only right path for God's people. For me, for you, for Deep Creek as a church. The life of faith is the only life that pleases God. See, look there at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're called to be people of faith, trusting in the one who is supremely faithful. I might just get you to hit that button on the PowerPoint, just so that we can bring that slide up just on the bottom there. That'd be great. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want you just to reflect on your own journey, where you are currently in your walk of faith. Take a moment, just reflect on it. Where are we as a church in that journey of faith? At Deep Creek, it displays many, many fine qualities as a church. Is there room for progress in our journey of faith? Just imagine in your mind's eye how exciting, how fulfilling life would be for us as individual Christians, how exciting and fulfilling life would be for us as the body of Christ here at Deep Creek if resolute confidence in God's certain promises, if oozing generosity, if joyful obedience to Jesus were our constant characteristics. How exciting, how fulfilling. The journey of faith is the best ride of all. It's not a passive ride. It's very active. But the energy, the engine room, is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why there's so many warnings about us quenching the Holy Spirit in our lives or in our corporate church life together. Friends, our acts of faith, they don't go unnoticed. Look at the balance of verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. A life of faith is the only life that pleases the Lord. And we live out our faith, we live it out through our wallets. We live it out in our workplaces, in our sports clubs, at a mother's group. We live it out when we go and fill up with petrol. We live it out in the supermarket. There is nowhere where we shouldn't be living out our life of faith. But faith has some very different outcomes, doesn't it, in this present age? For some people, it's like crossing the Red Sea. It's very victorious. In Abel's case, he ended up slaughtered on the ground. For the great majority of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, it's actually persecution. And for some, it's torture. And that's what the writer of the Hebrews says at the end of chapter 11, isn't it? That's actually been the history of God's people. Faithful people, faithful churches do not always see the quote-unquote results in this life, in this age. But faith is rewarded by God. You can trust it. He says it. It is so. Faith is resolute confidence in what we hope for, and it's certain of what we don't see. Biblical faith is a total orientation of our lives, orientating our whole lives to the Lord Jesus. And friends, that is a sweet, sweet experience. I'm going to ask that we stand together as we listen to a song which will actually also be our offering song. As what you may know these words of old, as we listen to the song, you might want to sing along with them if you know it. Say them as a prayer say them as praise in your heart, but perhaps you need to, as you say them, just be consecrating, reconsecrating your life to the Lord. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Let's stand together.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove to more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove to more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove to more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, for trust Him
more. Lord, as we stand here this morning in Your presence, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful one. The one who came and gave His all for us. The one who lived a perfect life, who was tempted in every way as we are, and yet without sin. The one who laid down His life as a perfect once-for-all sacrifice. The one who rose again for our justification, so that we might be right in Your eyes. The one who ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. The one who spiritually has brought us to the same place. The one who promises that He will return to complete the salvation for all who are waiting for Him. Lord, these are amazing promises. And they're promises from a God whose word is completely trustworthy. Lord, may we individually, may we as Morning Congregation, may we as Deep Creek Anglican Church be people of faith. When we're struggling When different things cloud our eyes of faith. I might be reminded of who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do. And Holy Spirit, we know as we look to you, you will strengthen us, you'll convict us of sin, you'll gift us, you'll empower us, you'll fill us with your Spirit, so that we may live genuine, victorious, liberated lives in Christ, regardless of circumstances and difficulties. And so, Lord, minister into our hearts today that we would be people with resolute confidence in God and the God who keeps his promises. That we would be people where generosity simply characterizes our whole lives. That we would be people who have joyful obedience to the Lord Jesus, knowing that you, Lord, know everything that's happening in our lives. And there will be that day of reckoning and account and blessing. So we commit ourselves to you this day. Lord, for each one, minister graciously into their lives as they live here. As we go out being people of faith, encourage us, we pray, in the precious and powerful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.